for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, December 31st, 2004. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Clement Humbard of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister on this. This is the final service of the week of meetings with communion.
I'm reading a few scriptures tonight from, start off with Matthew, the 11th chapter. I hope you don't consider this message anticlimactic. I know God is blessed. We've heard wonderful testimonies of what God has done in people's lives during this camp and down through the years. But I want to dig into God's Word. It'd be easy just to give you a great inspirational send-off and it's all over. But you know the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But Jesus said, my Word shall not pass away. Again, he said, man, I believe it's Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not a few little words, not three or four dozen favorite scriptures. Every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit in the original text. Every word. And the Bible said His Word is forever. Now, when this life is over, all you and I have is only what we receive from God's Word. Nothing else. Every experience that you experience spiritually, if you've even never heard about it, you can know. There's, the Word of God shows you how to know if it's from God. And it's from God, just keep your shirt on and study God's Word, and He'll reveal what it is that you are experiencing at that particular time. Now, we're living in great days. You talk about, some people say, I wish I lived in the days of Jesus. Wake up, you are. Some say, I'd like to get back to first century Christianity. Not me. Some say, let's get back to Pentecost. Not me. We ought to be 2,000 years beyond Pentecost. Now, you might be surprised that what God is going to do. I have good news tonight, and I have bad news. Maybe I better tell, I'll read a scripture, but maybe I better tell the bad news first. I don't know. But while I'm lighthearted on this, I never tell jokes. I hardly ever even tell personal experiences, although Brother Glenn time and time again says, tell us some of those things you've experienced. We enjoy. Well, I'm going to tell you, my brother, I saw him a few days ago down in Florida, he and Maud Amy, and he's still going for God. He's 4 years older than I. But I'm going to tell you, I guess, his favorite joke. He said that a young Jewish boy just went crazy about golf. He just lived golf. He got the videos, and he took lessons and all the rest, and he just wanted to get on that golf course. You know how fishing and golfing and all these can sort of take over if you're not careful. And so he heard his rabbi speak on the hereafter. And he's a little vague, said, we don't know much about it, but man, someday we hope, we think, he'll rest with God in eternity and have some kind of fellowship with God there. So he ran up the rabbi and he said, Rabbi, now you spoke of heaven, yes, paradise or the hereafter. Well, will there be golf in heaven? He said, what? He said, will there be golf in heaven? He said, well, not that I know of. I don't really know. He said, who does? He said, I don't know. I don't guess anyone will know whether there's golf in heaven or not. He said, you know what, though? I met the Presbyterian preacher down the street there the other day, and he had a lot of answers. So this young fellow said, well, this week I'll stop by. He stopped by the Presbyterian minister and said, I got one question. You believe in heaven? Yes. Is it real? Oh, yes. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. This city is a place. The state is a place, and Jesus said, I prepare a place, heaven, whose builder and maker is God. And he said, well, that's great. Now, will they have golf in heaven? He said, I have no idea. I've never heard that question before. But going home one afternoon, he took a shortcut, and he saw a big palm. And it said, fortunes told, past, present, future. He hit his brakes and went in. And he said, do you know the future? The lady said, that'll be $10, please. And they went in a darkened room, and the lady looked in a globe. Oh, no, we're not recommending. Stay away from those places. You'll have enough trouble with demons without inviting them. But said, now, what's your question? Said, is there golf in heaven? She stared a little while. She said, oh, I'm getting something, getting something. He said, well, hurry, tell me. She said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Said, what do you want? He said, well, is there golf in heaven? She said, all right, I'll give you the good news. There is golf in heaven. Oh, that's great, that's great. I sure want to go to heaven if they have golf up there. She says, wait a minute. Here's the bad news. Your tee-off time is noon tomorrow. Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus said, verse 25, I thank thee, O Father, heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now notice, his disciples have been with him 3.5 years. He took the liberty still to call them spiritual babes. You know, there are no shortcuts. You can become a Christian instantly. But sainthood and discipleship is going to take time. If you become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple, or a saint of God, and that term is correct, we are saints of God. But it's going to take time. Most state laws say it takes 21 years to produce a man. Every person has their own pace spiritually. I do not know, but he called these disciples of his babes after 3 years of traveling with him. Father, I thank you, you've hidden these truths from the wise, the prudent, revealing them to babes. It's seemed good in your sight, Father. All things are delivered in me by my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal. Now go back to Matthew 10, 10th chapter, please. And in verse 26, now ministers like to take this scripture and preach, be sure your sins will find you out. But to me, that's not what this is about. It said this, your sins will find you out, but this is not the scripture. It said, verse 26, fear them not. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hidden that shall not be known. And I tell you, in darkness that speak in light, what you hear in the ear that proclaim upon the housetops. Here's the subject. Here's the title. Everything is going in this age of grace and glory is going to be revealed, known, and that means personally intimate relationship. It'll be revealed, it'll be known, it'll be declared, proclaimed, and experienced with the people that are alive today. All right? In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 2, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hidden that shall not be known. This is not speaking of the sweet by and by, we'll eat pie in the sky. It's in this present world, everything is going to be revealed, known, proclaimed, and fulfilled. All of God's Word, every dot of an I, every cross of a T, is going to be fulfilled in God's Word. Every promise in that Word of God, whether it's in nations, individuals, whether it is wrath, judgment, everything in God's Word is going to be revealed and fulfilled that God has said is going to be fulfilled. Matthew 24, verse 14 said the gospel will be preached. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations. We believe that. If there are nations unreached, the gospel will be preached in all of these nations. Now, I said, maybe I'll give you a little of the bad thing first. Did you know last week the world wobbled on its axis? I preached this, and I got beat up for it when I preached in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, over 40 years ago. And a man I'd never met grabbed me and took me out of the service. It took two policemen to break down the door and come in and rescue me. They said, you don't have to go down and file charges against this man. I said, I want to witness to him, and I want to see who he is and what's making him tick, because he didn't like the prophetic preaching that I was preaching. And he was going to do something about it, and he belittled me, belittled God's Word. Back in Isaiah, I believe it's the 20... I don't have time to fumble these pages. But God said this in chapter 34, verse 4, and the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together like a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth from the vine like a falling fig from the fig tree. In Isaiah, he said that the earth will stagger like a drunken man. Someone help me, please. He said that the earth will stagger like a drunken man in space. Did you know scientists tell us, and they probably have proof, that this world has been turned upside down? They have found in the Arctic and Antarctic, they have found animals, large mammoth animals with green grass in their mouths eating, and they're frozen. We don't know if it's the time of the flood. We don't know if it's between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void and without form. God doesn't create things void and without form. There's destruction there between verse 1 and verse 2. But the Word of God shows that this old earth at the end of time is going to stagger through space like a drunken man. A week ago, when this great tidal wave, the tsunami, hit, and it covered about 5,000 miles around the globe, and that is a good sixth or almost fifth way around the globe. One wave, and I think she checked today, and they said the death toll is 177,000 dead in it that they know of. And no doubt that'll go to 250,000, half a million. Then diseases of the air, the soil, and the water, and decaying bodies. There may be a fallout of 6 million people going into eternity that probably would be alive for several months, but their life is going to be shortened. Now, the little jig is up. You and I better understand that we're living in the last of the last days. This may be the last winter camp you and I ever attend. Oh, now, Brother Clem, listen. Ice storms, lack of electricity shuts down everything. A few years ago in the huge temple in Ohio, we were given notice, no public service because of race riots. Out at the temple, we were instructed our insurance would be no good if we didn't put men, armed men, on the top and in every lobby. It was unlawful to have a religious service at that time. Now, perilous times are going to come in the last days. This old earth is not finished and God is not finished. But let me remind you that you are sitting not too far right tonight from the scene of the greatest earthquake that North America has ever had. A few years ago, God sent me up to New Madrid, Missouri. I drove down the New Madrid Fault. It comes on across the Arkansas line. It comes on down to about 100 miles from us. Did you know that in early 1800s, the New Madrid earthquake is practically where the Mississippi River is? And when that earthquake happened, the Mississippi River ran backwards. The huge lake out there, Tennessee Lake or Kentucky Lake or whatever it is, look it on the map there, that lake was formed. People laugh. I went up through there, went in their libraries, talked to local citizens, and they laughed. They said, "We're not worried about the earthquake." The Japanese steel mill came and built outside of Blytheville, and Francis' brother Terry, that many of you know and Brother Glenn knows, he works there in the steel mill. And that steel mill, and they build another sister steel mill nearby. And they produce thousands of tons of steel and different metal for heavy industry every month. It's sitting right on the New Madrid earthquake. The Bible said, Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, He said, before His coming, there'd be earthquakes in divers places. He said there'd be famine. You say, "Well, bless God, I won't be here." That's what you think. You say, "Well, God's going to snatch His church out by the hair of their head." Let me tell you, I was taught exactly that. Formal ministerial training, all the reference Bibles, but when I was quite a young preacher, I'd preach on prophecy, but I would not preach on the rapture of the church like they teach it as an escape mechanism. I believe Jesus Christ is coming again. 2 Peter 3 said they'll say, "Where is the promise of His return in the last days?" But it said the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. It said that God is, listen at it, God is long-suffering toward us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If people can get right with God after Christ comes to this earth, Peter didn't know what he's talking about. He said God's mercy is long-suffering, that everybody can get saved that can get saved. And the question is, where is the promise of His return? Now, friend, you've got to get ready to live. Amen? Start living. Don't live for today, but live today. Live. You've got to be ready to live. You've got to be ready to die. Did you know a jet plane 50 miles from here could lose an engine? And in 2 or 3 minutes, that flaming engine could hit here and every one of us be cinders. We have no assurance. Be sure that you're ready to live, ready to die. Then be sure you're ready for the Lord's return when He does come. Then the other thing, be ready for tribulation. "Well, Brother Clem, God's going to let His little children suffer." He's not. Did you ever hear of Daniel Lyons, Den, the Hebrew children's fire furnace? You ever hear of Apostle Paul? Did you ever hear of the first martyr of the New Testament church, Stephen? Did you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Did you ever hear about the godly Huguenots in Europe? St. Bartholomew's celebration, 80,000 Huguenot Christians killed in one night. Did you ever hear about the Russian Christians, over 20 million slaughtered for the faith? Did you ever hear about Chinese Christians while you and I are alive? 67 million people documented they were slaughtered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, God won't let His little children suffer. Down in Columbia, and I've been privileged to go, and God, even the drug center of the universe, Medellin, at least it was for a while, maybe still is. God let me minister there in a national convention, and we had great things happen the whole week. There in Columbia a few years ago, Protestant congregations were persecuted, their pastors were killed and cut in little pieces, and a piece of the pastor's body was delivered to every believer's home. A friend of mine, Dr. Ness of Seattle, Washington, flew to Rome and got an audience with the Pope and said, "We have means and ways to stop this Catholic persecution in Colombia and said, we're going to turn tables and we're going all out. So before long, because the Catholic priests in Colombia were leading the mobs to slaughter Protestant Christians. These kind of things shouldn't be. But friend, we're living in perilous times and awful times. Perilous days. You ever hear of Galveston, Texas? 68,000 wiped out in water rise in a hurricane less than a century ago. Some scientists say the whole California coast is ready to fall off into the Pacific Ocean. And way in 150, 200 miles would be the coastline. My Lord and my God, hold to God's unchanging hand. It's the only thing that's going to see us through. Yes, this old earth is staggering like a drunken man. In Revelation 6th chapter, it'll say in verse 8 that 1/4 of the world's population is going to be killed. You read it? That would roughly be 1.5 billion people by fire, smoke, and brimstone. Then read Revelation 9th chapter. Now watch, if there's 6 billion people on earth, the Bible shows in a short length of time, 1.5 billion are wiped off of this earth. Now that leaves 4.5 billion. Now, Revelation 9 chapter said 1/3 of what's left is going to be killed. That 1/3 means, you put those together, and it means that half of the people alive today, when this wrath comes in the book of Revelation, there will be 3 billion people out to meet their Maker. I believe in the promises of God. I believe in the keeping power of God. I believe in the preservation of the saints. I believe that God can keep us. But brother, just be ready to go or ready to stay. And don't put your things, your hopes in earthly things. Keep your hopes in things eternal. All right, that's some of the bad news. Now let's get into good news. God's not through with this world yet. God has many things He wants to do. Did you know God's going to have a glorious church, Ephesians 5, 25, 26, 27? Let's paraphrase. God's going to have the church of glory. The original can easily be translated that way, and it should be. Because we sling this thing, glory and glory, it's around. Usually just some metaphrase like it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and we really don't even hardly consider what we're saying. But He's going to have a glorious church. Now watch this. Matthew, I think the 17th chapter, Jesus takes Peter and James and John. You've heard me say before, Peter's a man of action. James is a man of prayer. When they laid him out, they said calluses were on his knees. My Lord, most of us don't have the fuzz worn off yet. But Peter, a man of action, James, a man of prayer, brother Jesus, and then John, a man of love. Now, this is the people that's going to be in the glorious church. The people of action, the people of prayer, and the people of love, of divine love of Almighty God. He takes them on a high mountain. Did you know He only took 3 of the 12? Only 3 out of the 70. Only 3 out of the 120. Paul said 500 men saw Him alive at one time. He only took 3 out of 500. And He takes them to the high mountain. And there, He was transfigured in their presence and in their sight. His garments became like white lightning glistening. Moses and Elijah appeared. And they talked about His soon decease off of this earth. Said His countenance was changed. Now, the word used there in the Greek is metamorpho, like a little caterpillar changes to a butterfly. Is the church to become a glorious church? Now watch this. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're identified in His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension. Why not His transfiguration? I think we are. I'm going to give you some brief reasons. In Romans 12:1, it said, I beseech thee. I demand your attention on this, He says. I beseech thee and beg of thee. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, By the mercy of God, you present your what? Did you know God claims your body same as He does your spirit? He said you're not your own, you're bought with a price. He's Savior of the body, the same as the eternal soul and spirit. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, sacrifice to be burned up. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Nothing unreasonable about it. Watch this. Be not conformed with this world. And here again is the general truth, the negative truth, and the positive truth. It's all through God's Word. Sometimes it's not in the same chapter, the same verse, but always God's truth has its general truth, its negative truth, what it's not, and its positive truth. Being born again, that's the general truth. Not of the will of the flesh, will of man, that's a negative truth. But by the will of God, that's a positive. So here he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, the general truth. Now the negative. Be not conformed to this world. My Lord, our family got in the awful situation this week because we're not conformable with the world. Just as innocent we could be, I mean. But the Bible said, love, 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of what? Of the Father is not in him. These things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of a life, they bring death. Adam and Eve. They were tempted on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. When Jesus went into temptation for 40 days and nights, the devil tempted on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those three things. He said, be not conformed to this world that's run by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And it means the course of this world. Don't act like the world. Don't try to keep up with the world. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. Your citizenship, the Bible said, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body like unto His glorious body. So He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word transform is metamorpho. It's the same thing that happened to Jesus on the mountain. Christians are to be metamorphosed. You're to be transfigured in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take another one. Galatians 4:19. The great apostle Paul said, I travail in the Spirit until what, Paul? Till all of you become Baptists. Till all of you become Pentecost. Good Lord. If you're still fooling around with that, get over it. Get rid of it. My Lord, God only has one church. Let's quit using all the names that the Bible doesn't use. Why, I had a head of a seminary said John was a Baptist and he baptized Jesus and that made Jesus a Baptist. I couldn't believe. President of seminary tell me that. And he said, you humbards, you may make it in heaven, but you won't have any reward because you're not Baptist. Boy, is he going to be surprised. Apostle Paul said, I travail in the Spirit till the full image of Christ be formed. To be what? In the original metamorphosed. Until you have a mountaintop experience with Jesus. That mountaintop's going to make us a glorious church, a church of glory. And I heard a minister preach a great sermon when I first came to Hot Springs. And he said, someday Christ is coming and the old church, it's just full of this, that, and the other. But all at once we're snatched up in the air and then we become a glorious church. You better read that again. It said that now it's being cleansed by the Word and the washing of water by the Word. Now, not then. He's coming back for a church not to make it glorious, but a church that's already glorious. Can someone say amen? Now in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it said, for we all, with open face, as looking through a mirror or a dark glass, we behold what? The glory of the Lord. And as we behold, we are, what say? Changed. Here again, we are metamorphosed. We are transfigured. And it explains it. Into the same image. From glory to glory. I wonder in your life if you're being changed into the same image. 2 Peter 1:4 said, all of these exceedingly great and precious promises are that we might be partakers of the divine nature of Almighty God. Now, something else. He's coming back for a church of glory. Now, He's coming back for a church that is one. Five times in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Oh, that's really the Lord's Prayer, the personal prayer. And five times in that prayer, he says, Father, I pray that they'll be one. It's not the same prayer. He said, one with us and in us. And then he prays that they might become one with the ones that they'll win. But it's five different prayers, or you can study them. It's a whole sermon in itself. And if I had time, I'd be glad to take each one. But one said that he would, Lord, and that's verse 17, that they'd become one in the glory. We're not going to become one in unity. Forget it. You've heard that all your life. Let's have unity in the body of Christ. Unity is not oneness. Unity is a result of oneness. Association gets everybody together. Oh, let's have unity. They'll shake hands and all, you know. Some of them run straddle doors when they see me and won't even shake hands. I don't care. That's their problem. They say, we need unity. We don't need unity. Jesus didn't pray for unity. He prayed for oneness. And that means the essence of God's divine nature in their life. Now, oneness is not, it's never horizontal at first. It's vertical. When you become one with Christ, with the divine nature, and I become one, then we meet. We're one, like we've known each other all our life. And we do have unity. But this thing of trying to get unity, there's nothing wrong with it. You want worldly means, worldly methods, and worldly energy trying to become one. But you'll never become one. But you become one with Christ, and someone else one with Christ, and when you meet, you're already one. No one has to organize it. No one has to work it up. All right. And he said in verse 22, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I am sharing with these. Now, we're going to get on a little touchy thing here. But if I'm going to get up here and use a few little illustrations and tell you the same things that you've known all your life over and over and over and over and over and over, bless your heart. I don't know about you, but it's refreshing to me when God starts uncovering and revealing new truths that we haven't walked in before. Now, how do you know if they're real or not? Anything that God is in a new thing, and that new is in quotes, it means refreshed. It's not new with God. It's always been with God. You've heard me say that 500 years ago, God started saying in a new way, I'm a righteous God, I'm a righteous God. He's always been a righteous God. But he said, I'm a righteous God. Martin Luther and a host of others said, how can we be made righteous? He went down the Vatican, climbed the steps, kissed the statue of Peter's toe, and he kissed the Pope's ring, and he went through the Hail Marys and all. He said, my soul is still empty. He went back to his church in Germany and nailed the thesis on the door. You know what God is saying? I'm a righteous God. I'm a righteous God. He's always been a righteous God, but a new revelation, renewed revelation of righteous God. They said, how can we be made righteous? No one preaches this, and it's not written anywhere. Well, I've written it a little bit down through the years, but listen at it. The Reformation is not the just shall live by faith. Because God is the Alpha Omega. He's the beginning, the end. He's the first, the last. Every great move of God begins with God, not with man. All right. God said, I'm a righteous God. They said, then how will we be made righteous? These things we're going through, this rituals and stupidity. And God said, I'm a righteous God. The just shall live by faith, and you receive the righteousness of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, he that knew no sin became sin, the very principle of sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God. Lift your hand and say, through Christ, I am the righteousness of God. Now you say, Brother Clem, I can't do that because I'd be a hypocrite. No, you're a doubter and a hypocrite by not doing it. Long as you don't claim something, you're not putting on an air. But if you don't step out in faith, the Holy Spirit has no ground in your life to start working in your life. When I start confessing through the precious blood, through the mercy of God, through the eternal Word, through the power of Spirit. I am the righteous of God. And in fear and trembling, and I start walking in that, the Holy Spirit start working in my life, and I become righteous as He is righteous. And that's what the Word of God, I'm quoting it, said, righteous as He is righteous. 200 years later, God said, I'm a holy God, a holy God. He's always been a holy God. He said, how can we be made holy? The Wesleys, well, it started in Oxford with a prayer group, meaning business with God, highly educated. That's a little unusual. Usually God starts a great movement with a handful of nobody somewhere. But this time God had another plan, that's fine. And Wesley and others got a hold of it, and he said, how can we be made holy? The Bible said, be ye holy for I am holy. And they started preaching a godly, sanctified walk with God, and the Wesleyan revival swept around the world. A little over 100 years ago, God started saying, I'm God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's always been the Holy Spirit. And Miss Woodworth Edda, Parm, and a host of others, they started saying, all right, the righteous of God. All right, God, you're the Holy Spirit. And see, God never does away with what He does. He just adds to it. And any revelation that is truly of God doesn't do away with who you are, what you know, and what you've experienced. It just lifts it to a higher plane. New depths, new heights. So it begins with God, every revelation, and then the Holy Spirit starts working and performs that in people's lives. They said, well, the great Pentecost revival, and you've heard on TBN and all the rest, it started because people had signs, wonders, and miracles. And they had some tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy, and that brought the revival. That didn't bring the revival. What brought the revival? God reminding, I am God the Holy Spirit, a new revelation, the Holy Spirit. Then from that revelation, the higher spiritual life is given with the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit among the people. Can you see it? All right. The church is going to become a glorious church. It's going to become one, it's going to be transfigured like Jesus Christ. Well, how, Brother Humbert? I don't need to know how. All I know, God's Word said that everything would be revealed and that it would be known, that's intimately, that it would be proclaimed from the housetop and it would be fulfilled and experienced in people's lives. Now, we haven't hardly scratched the surface. Did you know that the Bible said in Psalms 22:22 that Jesus Christ, the Lord, would lead the congregation in praise to God? First, He had revealed the name. Also, in Hebrews 2:12, it said that He had revealed the name. In John, the 17th chapter in Jesus' prayer, He said in about verse 5, Father, I have revealed the name. And again, in about verse 30 or 31, He said, I have declared the name and will declare it. Jesus Christ came to reveal the name and lead the congregation in praise to God. Now, throw away some of the references in your Bible or scratch them out. It'll say on the Lord's Prayer, Jesus came to reveal the Father, that we'd call God the Father. That's not true. All through the Old Testament, God's own called Him Father. There may be a greater relationship of fatherhood, but it's all through the Old Testament. Then others will say, well, He came to reveal the name Jehovah, something else. No, Jesus Christ came to reveal the name. Now, back in Exodus 3:14, Moses on the backside of the desert in that chapter, 40 years, and he turned aside while he's shepherding the sheep, and he saw a bush. It wasn't burning. It had the Shekinah glory of God in it. The white lightning of God. And he turned aside. And God said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your fathers. And I've seen the affliction of my children. He didn't say, I've seen the affliction of Jews. Anybody says God delivered the Jews out of Egyptian bondage, they ought to go and read their Bible. There were no Jews that day and time. It's Hebrews and Israelites. So God said, I've seen their tears, their taskmasters. I know the problems, trouble going through. He said, I am come down. Now, when God comes down, God the Father comes down, the Shekinah is always there. In my new book that'll probably be out this month by Zulon Press, it's 300 pages on the awesome glory. 3 pages shows you scriptures of the glory of Christ, which is glorious. The glory of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father. The glory of God the Father is the Shekinah glory. Where God, Emmanuel, manifests Himself is the Shekinah glory. And that is the awesome glory that we practically know nothing of this day and time when we have not experienced. But thank God we are going to experience the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. It is a definite promise in God's Word. It said the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the water does the sea. And it said it would cover in the land of the living. And back in Isaiah it prophesied that John the Baptist is coming. And he said that all flesh shall see the glory of the Lord our God. The Father of glory is going to reveal Himself. And where God the Father is, the Shekinah is there. Whether it's limited in a tabernacle in the wilderness, in the holiest of holies, whether it's in Solomon's temple, or whether it's in this last day and time, the Shekinah glory of Almighty God is going to be known and experienced and seen upon this earth. Can somebody say amen? And that manifestation of God is going to change us. And it'll change us into the image of Christ. It'll change your countenance. Moses came down the mountaintops. They had to put a veil over him. Brother, we haven't hardly scratched the surface. Again, the Bible said that out of the mouth of babes. One time I told an experience in West Palm Beach where a little baby that couldn't say da, 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 ma, 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 started praising God, and the mother just screamed and said, my Lord, this baby. And teenager said, the baby is talking. I went on with the service and never said a thing that night because that wasn't what God wanted me to do. I didn't know that pastor and his wife was going to quit the ministry, discouraged. I didn't know it. But I turned around in the middle of my sermon and I gave scripture. He wept and cried. And after service, he took me in his office 40 minutes, threw his arms across the desk, weeping and crying, said, my God, every question my wife and I had, you settled it with those scriptures you give. Did you know that we were going to leave the ministry after all these years? I said, brother, I know nothing about you except your name, and that's about all. Now, if I had grabbed that baby and run up there, oh, everybody, isn't that right? Mother, come up here. We don't have to show off. Let God do His own advertising. I get sick and tired of all of us trying to do the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is preach the Word and get out of the way and let God's Spirit do it. I want you to believe that the greatest time of your life is right ahead. I want you to lift your hand with me and say, for thine is the power. Wait a minute. Thine is the kingdom. Say it. Thine is the power. And thine is the glory. Amen. Forever amen. Now lift your hand by faith and say, mine is the kingdom. Mine is the power. Mine is the glory. You say, Brother Clem, all right, in Luke, the 12th chapter, I believe about verse 35, it said, Jesus said, my little flock, fear not, I give you the kingdom. If He gives us the kingdom, then mine is the kingdom with Him. Then He said in Acts 1:9, Luke 24:49, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If He gives us power, then mine is the power that God gives. Amen. It's not our power, my power, but it is our possession. Then all of us get up before the Lord and say, now I don't have nothing. Well, sit down then. He said, it gives me power. You shall be endued with power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. How many have been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit? Then you have the dunamis power. Well, that last part, I can't rob God of His glory. This has nothing to do with robbing God with His glory. In Adam and Eve, God's glory was there. In Psalms 8 chapter, it said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Also in Hebrews 2 chapter, same words. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast created him a little lower than the angels. One place it says a little lower than the gods, little g, little gods. Thou hast created him. Thou hast crowned him. Who did it? God. Crowned who? Man. With what? Honor and glory. I'm not going to deny any of God's works. I want all of them. And here again, John 17:22, Jesus said, Father, I'm going to share that glory with these little ones. Well, Brother, God's not going to share His glory with another. Go and read it, please, in Isaiah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. 42, I believe, in 48 chapter, He said, I won't share my glory with these heathen idols. Then He said in the last one, I won't share my glory with these heathen nations because I'm sharing it with the Israel of God. God wants to share. I know everybody says this is wrong. God wants to share His glory with us. We deny God's glory by saying that it's not for us. He's trying to push the glory of God upon us. He's trying to bring the Shekinah glory. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change your physical body. You'll feel like running through a troop and leaping over a wall. The weak shall become like David, and the house of David shall become like God. That is Scripture. Praise God. The Bible said to the painting of glory, oh, I wish I had more time. But now I remind you, not only are you to be saved, but you're to be baptized in water. And then He gave us another ordinance. It's fasting. Then He gave us the main ordinance of the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. I invite every person in this audience to participate. I did this many years, even in the large church, and I didn't know until I read all 14 books of the Journal of John Wesley, you know. And I found out years later that John Wesley did the same thing. This is not closed communion, it's Christ communion. And you know what? There's not a better time, if you're a sinner, to confess your sins and believe on Jesus and get right with God and take communion with us. Now, we have two elements. What are they? All right, it's the bread and the wine. The fruit of the vine. Two elements. I want to remind you that Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, there in the 11th chapter, he said, don't partake of the Lord's Supper. Oh, God bids us come. As often as you do it, means we ought to do it. Really, believers ought to be doing this daily in their home. We have a little small communion set, but we don't do it daily. But many times we have. I think it'd be a blessing if, even if you're alone, Nathan, just take the little grape juice and remind yourself, you know, of Calvary and the Lord. Now it said, don't take it unworthily, unscripturally, and without discernment. Not discerning the Lord's body. There's two elements, the blood and the body. Now, you discern the body of Christ and why the whipping post by His stripes were healed. See, God sent His Son to the whipping post, not necessarily save us from sin, but to heal our physical bodies. I wish time I had time to go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and take the Hebrew words there and show you that He hath borne our griefs. And that word grief is C-H-O-L-I, which means sickness and diseases. It's one of the strongest words in the Hebrew. Then he hath borne our sorrows. Sorrows is M-A-K-O-B, our physical pain. Christ bore our sorrow and our physical pain. He bore our sickness and diseases, and you and I don't have any business bearing them. He bare our sins, and we have no business. We ought to ask Him to forgive us of our sins, place them upon Christ, the Lamb of God, because He takes away sin. He eradicates it. He forgives it. And the same thing on sickness and disease, not discerning the Lord's body. Then there's something else. Not discerning that you are bone of His bone, as the Bible said in Ephesians, flesh of His flesh. And the Bible said, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your physical body is in some kind of mystical, but it is literal. In spiritual sense, know ye not that the church is the body of Christ, and we're members in particular. So, not discerning, making a distinction between the cup and the bread, then not discerning the Lord's body, and that is that He shed His life blood on Calvary for sins, but His body, He was wounded. And by His stripe, actually in the original it didn't say stripe, it said mopa, by His big bruise. Finally, it was just mass pulverized flesh on Jesus. midriff. There would not be a place left on his back where you could put your thumb. And it wouldn't be just like, shall I use the expression, hamburger meat. And by his stripes were healed. Precious. Now, not discerning the Lord's body, and your body is part of his body, then the other. Not discerning that everybody that's born again is in the body of Christ. I don't care if they say they're Methodist, Baptist, Pentecost, Nicolaitans, Presbyterian. Why, many times I take communion with the Episcopals. I don't regularly do it, but I felt the anointing of God there because my mind is on Jesus. Well, I have to cough because they use the real the real stuff, but we just take a little sip of it. And I don't like it, especially. All right? No one has an excuse to stay in sin any longer. When we take communion, if you're a backslider, just commit everything to God. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm coming home. Prodigal son or prodigal daughter's coming home. It's so simple. He stands with outstretched arms saying, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll forgive you. I'll give you peace. I'll give you love. I'll give you joy. Just come unto me. And not discerning the Lord's body. And then we partake together and remember the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't regularly do it, but I believe, Ron, that communion you and I was talking about where some of us together, it seems like we left an empty chair. I don't want to get in superstition, and I've never done it since, and I may never do it. It seems like we left an empty chair there, just a handful of us, and we've taken communion, and we said, now let's focus. Suppose Jesus was right there in that chair. Brother, it's sobering thoughts. And God did some wonderful things for us. That is so unusual. All kind of things happened there while we were taking that holy communion. And the Bible previously said right before, the quotations I'm giving in Scripture said, the cup of blessing. Now believe it, that God's going to bless you for your obedience. And let's focus our mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a backslider, we welcome you to come, but in fear and trembling, and say, Lord, I'm coming home. If you're a sinner, don't hesitate. Just say, I believe. I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I believe that. And go ahead and partake and see what God does in your life. All right. Brethren, would you come, please? If you would just reverently get your mind upon God, I believe that we'll go through the audience, take the bread, take the cup, hold it, and we'll all take communion together. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Washes white as snow. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we are healed. On the cross crucified, in great sorrow he died. The giver of life was he. But my Lord was despised and rejected of men. This Jesus of Galilee. Sing it with me. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely He bore our sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed. Dr. Noel, would you ask God's blessing upon these implements?
We healed, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Shall we reverently eat together? As often as you do it in remembrance of me, Jesus said, to show the Lord's death till He comes again. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Forgiveness through the blood. Shall we drink together? Brother Glenn.
Father, I thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that You said by Your stripes we have healing. Father, help us to appropriate and believe and have faith for that in our individual lives. Father, thank You for Your blessings over all these people in this year that lies ahead of us. We don't know what it will bring, but we know that You are Lord. And no matter what it brings, You still are Lord. And Father, we won't forget to lift up our nation. Our President, Father, and those in authority in this nation need Your guidance and direction. And Father, no matter what men say, You still are in charge. And we thank You, Lord, for godly guidance and counsel. Thank You, Lord, that there will be that those in authority in this nation will request godly counsel. And Father, those who are contrary to Your word, Father, replace them with men and women who stand for righteousness and for the kingdom of the living God. We bind the spirit of Antichrist that is prevalent over this nation. I take authority over the spirit of Antichrist, and I bind and break its assignment that the glory of the Lord shall be manifested, and men shall know that God rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of His people, and that this nation and other nations of the earth belong to God. For Father, Your word says that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And Father, we expect that to be. We know it will be because Your word says so. Father, we thank You again for Your anointing and presence over each one of us to take care of us as we travel, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life, but that we may be a praise to Your name. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We wish you not only a happy new year, but a blessed year. A blessed year as we look to the Lord for guidance and direction in every area of our lives. And we all need it. Not just one, but we all need the presence and the Lord to guide and direct us. Amen. Now, Doc will be here at 7 o'clock after a while for a prayer meeting. And all of you that are still here and wake up, why, come and join him. And Doc's son, Ashley, just came in from Germany this evening. And Ashley will be ministering Sunday morning to all of us that are here. Ashley is doing research work everywhere, England and Germany and the Vatican, and doing research work on some books that commissioned. That he's been commissioned to write for the Church of England? Huh? Can't hear you. Oxford University Press. He's an ordained priest and able minister of the Lord with more knowledge about the things of history than I wish I had just a little bit of it than I will probably ever know, because that's what the Lord is blessing with. Well, you're dismissed. And There will be no more meals served here. The last meal is over, and everybody's on their own.
I'm going to sing instead of the benediction. A happy new year to you, a happy new year to you. Every day of the year, may you feel Jesus near. A happy new year to you, a happy new year to you. And the best year you've ever had. Stand and sing it with me. A happy new year to you. A happy new year to you. Every day of the year, may you feel Jesus near. A happy new year to you, a happy new year to you, and the best year you've ever had.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.